Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5.30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. HICWA says a number of issues identified at Letterkenny University Hospital are currently being addressed. There was a 3% fall in the number of people on the live register in Donegal at the end of March compared to a year prior. An Inishowen councillor is highlighting the need for plans to be put in place for non-domestic buildings affected by defective concrete blocks, and Derry City and Strabane District Council have submitted a bid for Strabane to become UK Town of Culture in 2028. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we will have an update of all the sport with Mark at around 6:15. But first, HICWA says a number of issues identified at Letterkenny University Hospital are currently being addressed. The Health Information and Quality Authority has published its report of an unannounced inspection against the National Standards for Safer and Better Healthcare, which was carried out in July last year. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
Overall, the hospital was deemed to be substantially compliant with one of the four national standards assessed and partially compliant with the three remaining national standards. They say this represents a decrease in compliance in these standards from the 2023 inspection, where there was substantial compliance with two of the standards. Four clinical areas were assessed: the emergency department, medical 6, medical 8 and surgical 2. Inspectors spoke with patients in the emergency department, with some pointing to long waiting times and a lack of facilities. They also reported seeing staff actively engaging with patients in a respectful and friendly manner. Staff on the wards were observed assisting patients with mobility, hygiene and meals, and promoting patient dignity. Although patients who spoke with inspectors in the ward areas were not always aware of the formal complaints process in use at the hospital. The report, which can be assessed at highlandradio.com, contains these responses and outlines how the issues identified are being rectified.
There was a 3% fall in the number of people on the live register in Donegal at the end of March compared to a year prior. Across the county, social welfare offices all but one saw a decrease in numbers. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The sharpest year-on-year fall of almost 8% was recorded in Dunloe, where there were 753 people on the register. There were 440 people signing on in Donegal Town, a 7% decrease. Ballybuffet and Ballyshannon both recorded falls of 6%, with 897 and 804 people on their respective registers. There was a 3% fall recorded in Killybegs, with 358 people signing on, a 2% fall in Dunfanaghy, with 487 on the register there, while Buncrana's total of 1,399 represents a year-on-year fall of 1%. There were 2,109 people signing on in Letterkenny. That's an increase of 0.03 of 1%.
An Inishowen councillor is highlighting the need for plans to be put in place for non-domestic buildings affected by defective concrete blocks. Councillor Albert Doherty says a cross-departmental approach is needed to support schools, creches, public service centres, community buildings and farm outhouses. He expressed disappointment that the long-promised social housing remediation scheme has not yet happened and says that issue needs to be firmly placed on the desk of the Taoiseach. In particular, Councillor Doherty says Donegal County Council must prepare a contingency plan for Cardonna Public Services Centre for when remediation becomes necessary.
Forewarned should be forearmed. All councillors have rode in with motions supporting houses, homeowners. And here we have a community building with the library involved. We have significant evidence visually of rampant DCB issues. And what I'm looking for, and I addressed to John McLaughlin, let's have a contingency plan. Let's have a plan where we look after the safety of our staff, the safety of our visitors, and yet when required works come on board, that we have another alternative location where business can go on as usual in the North Inishowen area.
Derry City and Strabane District Council have submitted a bid for Strabane to become UK Town of Culture in 2028. If successful, funding will be granted to the town, similar to Derry when they became City of Culture in 2013. The shortlist of towns is due to be announced later this year. Project Manager Deirdre Hart has been outlining the theme of hope, which was the base of the bid.
We submitted an expression of interest and we would fall under the small town category. What it would mean is if we're shortlisted, we would get 60,000 to work up a bid, and then the winner would get 3 million further programme in 2028, and there's also going to be two runners-up who would get 250,000. So there's three towns that would get a bit of funding towards delivering a programme for the year.
And the theme within the bid is one of resilience, given the troubled history of Strabane and even the troubled economic times of recent. How significant would this be for turning the page on how Strabane is viewed?
I think it would be really significant because I know we've done a lot of engagement with community and culture groups in Strabane over the last few weeks, and there's a lot of excitement because there's about 140 million of planned capital investment for the town. So the timing would be amazing because we would use this, not just the funding that you would get through this, but just culture as a catalyst to get the community involved and get a bit of ownership around the regeneration of the town. And as you said, Strabane, it's very unique because we're right on the border and we've got this amazing kind of cross-border community and identity, but we've been through a lot of trauma. So we put the expression of interest in with a really strong theme of hope, creating a town of hope in 2028.
The Taoiseach is calling for peace in the Middle East after the US president claimed his war is nearing its conclusion. Donald Trump says he believes there are two or three more weeks of fighting needed without providing any clear objectives which need to be fulfilled before he'll end the war. Sean Defoe reports.
Through a 90-minute speech last night, Donald Trump repeated a series of questionable claims. He said the operation from the US will end in 2 to 3 weeks without outlining what objectives the US is trying to hit in order to get out. He also abdicated any responsibility for reopening the Strait of Hormuz to oil traffic, putting the onus on other nations to do so.
I have a suggestion. Number one, buy oil from the United States of America. We have plenty. We have so much. And number two, build up some delayed courage. Should have done it before, should have done it with us, as we asked. Go to the Strait and just take it.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin criticised the US president for threatening to bomb Iran back to the Stone Age and said it's difficult to plan around Trump's pronouncements.
You could be forever trying to interpret President Trump in terms of what he said and what actually gets done, and that's always been a feature. They have so far... stopped doing the bombing of oil infrastructure.
Government sources saying they're taking Donald Trump's claims on Iran seriously, but not literally.
A West Donegal-based coach company has announced a major expansion of its Dublin service. From this coming Tuesday, Garda Hork-based Beginley Coach Travel Company will introduce 4 new daily departures on its Letterkenny to Dublin City and Airport route, and 1 new daily departure on its Inishowen Derry to Dublin route. They say in total, this adds more than 40 extra departures per week to the existing timetable. Managing Director James McGinley said, while there is a fuel crisis at the moment, planning for this expansion started over a year ago.
It's been in the plan for nearly a year and a half. It's not something you can just start on a whim. You have to get authorizations, you have to get planning for all the bus stops. So this project has actually been on the go for probably a year and a half. You know, you could look at the fuel thing in a positive way as well. You know, people that may have driven to the airport, that may have driven to the city, you know, will be probably encouraged to use public transport because of the price of fuel, that it will make their journey cheaper.
Your company is probably the closest competitor that Bus Éireann have in this region. It's coming to the point where your company is going to be challenging Bus Éireann to be the dominant carrier to the capital and to Dublin Airport from Donegal in the northwest.
There's room for everyone, and competition makes sure that everybody provides a good service. We've survived together for years and years now. The only thing about our service, you know, I don't kind of view it the same as Bus Éireann, and that it's a completely different. Our service starts in West Donegal from Anagri and travels through Garda Hork, Chrysla, all the way to Letterkenny before it goes on to Dublin. And similarly, our Inishowen Derry route starts in Mavill, Buncrana. So we are covering a lot more of the county. So it has to be justified as well with the cost of fuel and everything. You know, people sometimes wouldn't realise that a return coach at the moment will probably cost us about €600 of fuel per journey. So it's not something that you can look at lightly either when you start new services, but I believe the market is there.
The PSNI's chief constable appeared before the Northern Ireland Policing Board today. He did so off the back of a major security alert being sparked at a police station in Lurgan earlier this week. A delivery driver was forced at gunpoint to drive his car to a police station with a suspicious device. John Boucher says he's pleased to see the number of people who are criticising those behind the attack.
I want to begin my remarks by joining our politicians and you, Chair, and the extraordinary number of everyday people and leaders in society in condemning the actions of the cowards who terrorised and endangered the life of a delivery driver and my officers and staff.
Meanwhile, Chair of the Northern Ireland Policing Board, Brendan Mullen, says PSNI officers continue to operate under threat.
This week, with the reckless attempt to attack Lurgan Police Station, we are very much reminded that 25 years on, we are not living in the normal, peaceful society envisaged, with the ongoing threat that policing and its officers and staff continues to operate under.
Increased road safety enforcement measures are in place from today until Tuesday as the Gardaí's Bank Holiday Safety Campaign gets into full swing. Gardaí say every on-duty member will be involved in the roads policing operation in an attempt to keep road users and pedestrians safe. With more, here's Jessica Woodlock.
The Gardaí are warning drivers that at no point is it safe or acceptable to get behind the wheel after consuming alcohol or drugs. They'll be carrying out increased intoxication checks this weekend as part of a road safety campaign. The heightened policing operation began this morning and will remain in place until 7 o'clock on Tuesday morning. The Gardaí are urging drivers to be vigilant, and they're asking people who are walking or cycling this weekend not to do so while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Chief Superintendent David Harrington from the Garda National Roads Policing Bureau says there's been an increase in pedestrian deaths on Irish roads, with 2026 on track to match last year's figure of 41 pedestrian fatalities. He's urging people to eliminate distractions and to make responsible decisions to ensure everyone gets home safe this bank holiday weekend.
It's 18 minutes to 6 on Highland Radio. All the sport with Mark after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:45 on Highland Radio, and Mark Gallagher is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic games. Michael Murphy looks set to be available for the start of Donegal's defence of their Ulster Senior Football Championship at the end of the month. It is reported there will be no further sanction for him after an incident with Kerry's Dylan Casey during the league final last weekend. Murphy was yellow carded on the pitch, and it is now understood there will be no further action taken by the CCCC. Donegal get their Ulster campaign underway with a quarter-final fixture against Down in Letterkenny on the 26th of April. It's hoped the Connacht GA Dome will be open at the beginning of next month. The structure was completely destroyed by Storm Eowyn as it swept through the west of the country. The dome was being manufactured in Slovenia and has been delivered. Speaking at the launch of the Connacht Championship, John Prenti is hopeful of opening the doors very soon.
Probably two-thirds of the dome is on site out there, and next Tuesday the dome will be 100%. Every single nut and bolt that's required for the new dome will be on site. And then the people from Slovenia are going to arrive on Wednesday, and they're going to be beavering away to get it back up as quickly as possible. Hopefully, maybe in 5 weeks, 6 weeks, we'll be ready to open the doors.
In soccer, Ireland have beaten Scotland 2-1 in the FAI Schools Centenary Shield in Athlone this afternoon. Finn Harps youngsters Declan Patton and Rowan McGroarty both started, with McGroarty receiving the player of the match for his solid performance at the back. Ireland were 1-0 down after just 9 minutes, but did get back on level terms by half-time thanks to an own goal. Tralee's Robert Keane then got what turned out to be the winner to give Ireland a brilliant victory in the Centenary Shield. The draw for the FAI Cup first round has been made at FAI HQ in Abbottstown, with 24 teams competing in the first step on the road to the Aviva Stadium. Fannad United will face a tricky away tie in Cork against Douglas Hall at Monygurney. League of Ireland clubs will enter the FAI Cup in the second round, and it will be joined by the 12 winning sides from the first round. Leeds United manager Daniel Farker says Dominic Calvert-Lewin has come back to the club with big motivation to seal a place in England's World Cup squad. The striker missed a big chance in last Friday's one-all friendly draw with Uruguay, but Farker says Calvert-Lewin can press his international claims over the final few weeks of the domestic season.
What he has to deliver right now, week in, week out, in the cup games, in the Premier League games, if he delivers a strong finish of the season with many good games and, you know, hopefully also a few goals and a few assists, then he has all chances, and then it's up to Thomas to make a decision.
Manchester United are reportedly aiming to clear €1.4 million a week from their wage bill this summer to fund future signings. Departures including Casemiro, Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford, Rasmus Højlund and Andre Onana could free up more than €72 million annually. Finding a replacement for Casemiro is understood to be a key priority. The club also faces transfer debt repayments of about €222 million this year. Gianluigi Buffon has resigned as Italy's delegation chief after Federation President Gabriele Gravina stepped down following another World Cup qualifying failure. Italy's playoff defeat to Bosnia-Herzegovina means the Azzurri will miss a third consecutive World Cup, increasing pressure for sweeping reforms. Moving on to athletics, Katrina Devine has taken a silver medal at the European Masters Championships in Poland this afternoon. The Finn Valley AC athlete came second in the W50 1500 metres event, coming home in a time of 4 minutes 59.86. Fellow Irish athlete Mary Leach won gold in that race in Turin. In golf, Ryder Cup captain Luke Donald has confirmed Eduardo Molinari will return as vice-captain for the 2027 contest at Adair Manor. The Italian, a key part of Europe's recent backroom success, will serve in the role for a third time after helping to victories in 2023 and 2025. Donald is aiming to make history at Adair Manor by becoming the first captain to win three consecutive Ryder Cups. In darts, the Premier League continues this evening with leader Luke Littler looking to strengthen his grip on top spot. He faces Jan van Veen in tonight's quarter-final. Elsewhere, Michael van Gerwen takes on Stephen Bunting. Gerwen Price is up against Luke Humphreys and Josh Rock faces second-placed Johnny Clayton. Finally, coming up on the score programme this evening, former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle will join us to look ahead to a double weekend of fixtures for both Finn Harps and Derry City in the League of Ireland. We'll hear from Raphoe Town boss Liam Porter following their recent promotion to the Donegal League First Division, and it's a big day for the Donegal under 20 hurlers on Saturday. We'll be speaking with manager Eddie Gaffey ahead of their All-Ireland semi-final meeting with Derry. That's all coming up on the Score programme just after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Back to you, Ryan.
Thanks, Mark. The Severe Weather and Flooding Coordination Groups held a meeting ahead of Storm Dave's arrival this weekend. A nationwide status yellow wind warning has been issued for 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon until 11 p.m. that night. Local authorities from around the country met Erin, and representatives from a number of government departments also attended today's meeting. The Road Safety Authority is also advising road users take extra care when using the roads over the bank holiday weekend amid the weather advisory. Met Erin's Liz Walsh says it'll also be quite cold on Saturday night.
There will be kind of, you know, a chance of some wintry showers in that. So temperatures will be quite low at night, like, you know, down to 1 or 0 degrees at night. And that actually, you know, tonight they're going to get cold as well, Friday night and Saturday night. So those three nights will be cold nights.
And for the weather right now, wet and breezy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle along with moderate to fresh southwesterly winds. Tonight, rain will clear eastwards towards morning with scattered showers and clear spells following as winds ease and veer westerly. Lowest temperatures of 4 to 6 degrees. A mix of cloud and sunny spells with scattered showers through the day tomorrow. A clearance to drier weather with sunshine from the west by evening. Highest temperatures of 8 to 11 degrees with light southwesterly winds increasing moderate to fresh and westerly through the afternoon. A look back at today's main stories. Hickwas say a number of issues identified at Letterkenny University Hospital are currently being addressed. The Health Information and Quality Authority has published its report of an unannounced inspection against the National Standards for Safer and Better Healthcare, which was carried out in July last year. Overall, the hospital was deemed to be substantially compliant with one of the four national standards assessed and partially compliant with the three remaining national standards. They say this represents a decrease in compliance in the standards from the 2023 inspection, when there was substantial compliance with two of the standards. The number of people on the live register in Donegal fell by 3% in March compared to a year prior. Numbers fell in all but one of the county's social welfare offices. Letterkenny saw a very minor increase of 0.03% year-on-year as 2,109 people signed on. An Inishowen councillor is highlighting the need for plans to be put in place for non-domestic buildings affected by defective concrete blocks. Councillor Albert Doherty says a cross-departmental approach is needed to support schools, creches, public service centres, community buildings and farm outhouses. He expressed disappointment that the long-promised social housing remediation scheme has not yet happened and says that issue needs to be firmly placed on the desk of the Taoiseach. In particular, Councillor Doherty says Donegal County Council must provide a contingency plan for Carndonagh Public Services Centre for when remediation becomes necessary. And Derry City and Strabane District Council have submitted a bid for Strabane to become UK Town of Culture in 2028. If successful, funding will be granted to the town, similar to Derry when they became City of Culture in 2013. The shortlist of towns is due to be announced later this year. Project manager Deirdre Hart outlined the theme of hope, which was the base of the bid. That's all from the newsroom for now. Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore will be after this evening's obituary notices. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, April the 2nd. The death has taken place of Annie Sweeney, née McElroy, 33 Garden City, Derry, and formerly of Strabane, reposing at her home on Saturday from 2 p.m. Funeral leaving her home on Monday at 9:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Pennyburn at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in St. Mary's Cemetery, Melmount, Strabane. Family time please from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Marianne Celine McMonigal, Number 2 St. Union's Terrace, Letterkenny, reposing at her late residence from 12 noon until 5:30 tomorrow, concluding with removal to St. Union's Cathedral for reception prayers at 6 p.m, reposing overnight for service of liturgy at 12 noon on Saturday, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv, followed by burial in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only please. Donations in lieu if wished to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place in Belfast of Declan Gallagher, 150 Laurel Drive, Strabane, reposing at the family home today until 10 p.m. Funeral leaving the family home tomorrow at 10:25 a.m. for funeral service in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 11 a.m. Private cremation afterwards in Lakeland's crematorium. Family time please from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The funeral service can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Mary Doherty, née Harkin, Carnegore, Glen, Carrigart, Letterkenny, going to St. John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, to repose overnight. Funeral service tomorrow morning at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral service can be viewed on the Meva Parish Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Lake House Patient Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Gallagher Funeral Directors, Carrigart. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com. Highland Radio.
Good evening and welcome along to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Latest figures show that the Department of Agriculture has received more than 36,500 basic income support for sustainability, commonly known as BIS scheme applications, as well as other area-based scheme applications so far. Well, this week the department has begun a series of in-person clinics nationwide to help farmers in making their BIS and other area-based scheme applications online. And the clinic that will be held in Donegal will take place from 10 o'clock in the morning to 4:30 on Wednesday, April the 15th in Jackson's Hotel in Ballybuffet. Donegal County Council is planning to increase the number of farm inspections this year to 214, up from 146 that were completed last year. Under the Good Agricultural Practice Regulations, the inspections last year concentrated on areas of the county where agriculture has been linked to poor water quality. These inspections focused on farmyards, slurry and soiled water storage capacity, fertiliser use and minimisation of soiled water. Farmers received advance notice through the post, giving at least a week to prepare for the inspection, and a final report was issued after completion. According to the council, the main issues continue to centre around collection and holding of farm effluent and the control of soiled water in farmyards. Council staff also completed 24 knowledge transfer talks to groups of farmers through their agricultural advisors last year, focusing on water quality, farm inspections and best practice. Concern is mounting that future farm payments are just not going to be enough. New analysis suggests that between €184 and €190 a hectare is needed to avoid a collapse in direct payments after 2027. Well, Noel Barden is news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, and he's been looking into the proposed cap changes and possible implications. Noel, some of the findings make for some worrying reading. Can you just explain where things stand at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm sure your listeners who might kind of follow along with this sort of stuff, farm payments, they'll know for sure that last summer there were pretty radical plans unveiled by the European Commission in terms of the next long-term EU budget and how much would be ring-fenced for agriculture. And I suppose these figures that we have this week, they were compiled by the IFA. So I suppose if we're looking at a 24% cut in ring-fenced funding, it's no drastic surprise that money's going to have to be cut from somewhere when it comes to payments at farm level. And I suppose what these IFA figures show is that €184 is what will be needed in the next kind of area-based income support scheme for farmers. So this would be what is currently BIS and CRIS and Young Farmer Supports. Once they're all lumped in together into this new scheme, as things stand, €184 a hectare would be needed to prevent any cut at farm level to these payments that support farm incomes. But I suppose when we go back to the European Commission's proposals, they said that this new scheme, so this is the BIS plus CRIS plus Young Farmer scheme, that it's going to be up to individual EU countries to pick their average level of payment. But this average has to sit between 130 and 240. So the €184, that does sit within the range. But the IFA kind of looked at the what-if scenario, kind of, if the government of the day was to go at 130 or 240. And I suppose we're working here with a smaller cake. So when you try and divide out that cake, at least one slice of it's going to have to be smaller, or both, kind of both halves of it. And when we're talking about slices here, we're talking about the core income supports. So this would be kind of the check and the post each year. And then we'd be talking about all of what are currently Pillar 2 schemes. So this would be ACRES, the Agri-Environmental Scheme. It would be the SCEP, the scheme to support suckler farmers. And it would be the Sheep Improvement Scheme. It would be the ANC. So essentially, if you go with the €130 per hectare, if there was a decision taken to go at the lowest possible level on an area-based payment of a payment rate, then I suppose these other schemes that I just listed out would be protected. So funding farmers for environmental measures, targeting payments into ANC areas, supporting suckler farmers and sheep farmers. But then if we're to look at the €240 per hectare figure, if they were to look to maximise the area-based figure, there'd only be €20 million per year left to fund this raft of other schemes that currently sit in Pillar 2 of the CAP.
Important, I suppose, to point out that there's still a lot of negotiations to come on this, and no doubt Donegal farmers will be hoping that local TDs will put the pressure on the government to secure greater funding or indeed maybe room for national top-ups to compensate.
Yeah, no, and in terms of filling the gap that's there to be filled, it'll be kind of all of the above. So there's a funding pot there of national exchequer funding that can top up a certain amount of the schemes, but not all of them. So you could see farm organisations really pushing for governments to increase kind of the medium-term commitment to agriculture there on the funding side in terms of the national government. But as well as that, there will also be non-ring-fenced EU funds. So money that Ireland gets out of the EU budget that isn't under a certain heading, that Ireland will have a certain amount of leeway in allocating it to what it sees as its priorities. So there'll be another push there to allocate these funds towards agriculture to try and backfill the hole. But as well as that, what we're talking about are still proposals. And I suppose there was a lot of farm ministers from a lot of member states who weren't happy with these budget plans when they were unveiled last summer. When it comes down to the brass tacks of the negotiations there, we still need to see what way kind of different member states kind of join up with each other. Are they going to fight to change these proposals? Are they going to have enough numbers there if they do look to do that?
And finally, Noel, just the time scale, where are we at in terms of the final proposals and when will the actual new CAP programme come into being?
If we're to start from the end and work backwards, the new CAP is to kick in supposedly on the 1st of January 2028, but there is still a bit of, I suppose, uncertainty around that date. I suppose we're looking at one of the most radical reforms that there's been of the cap in decades, and indeed of the whole EU budget structure. It takes about a year after the kind of guardrails are set at EU level, after the figures are finalised, for each individual country to draw up all its schemes, not just for agriculture, but kind of all of its plans for all of the EU money it's going to be getting. There's so much change here. I suppose we really have to see, are all of the MEPs on the one page? Are all of the different EU countries on the one page? Because they're all going to have to sign off on this stuff. And obviously the further they are apart when they go into negotiations, the longer it's going to take to meet somewhere in the middle. It is really this year that we're expecting to see a lot of the details starting to kind of concrete up a bit, starting to firm up.
And that was Noel Barden, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other farming news, payments in respect of the second year of the knowledge transfer programme have commenced. Under the European Union requirements, the payments to farmers in the knowledge transfer groups must be paid to them via the facilitator of their knowledge transfer group. So individual farmers or participant payments will be sent to the facilitator, who will then pass this on. Where a farmer has met all the requirements of year two, the payment amounts to €750. Year three of the programme is currently underway, and the Agriculture Minister Martin Hayton has reminded participants that they must attend at least 8 meetings and have their one-to-one meeting completed by the 31st of December. Now, next Wednesday, April the 8th, sees the annual general meeting of Inishowen Co-op. That'll take place at its premises in Carndonagh at 8 p.m. The annual report and accounts are being made available to shareholders from today at all the local co-op branches. And finally, just a reminder that a Chagas-supported precision nutrient application event takes place on the farm of James McKean in Porthall in Lifford. That's next Wednesday at 11:30. Well, that's it for this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Until the next time, a very good evening.